If you would, in your bulletin, you'll find a sermon guide, and we really encourage you to use that. It's going to be a lot easier today than it typically is. We have typically a lot of passages that we are, a lot of verses that we cover, and today, or at least in my mind, we do, and so it sometimes doesn't happen. But today, we're looking at just a few. Basically four sentences or phrases, and we'll see how far we get. To transition from taking the Lord's Supper together and celebrating this, that's the gospel. And Jesus brought this gospel to bear into our lives in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. You were dead. You didn't care about God. You were religious maybe, but you didn't care about the biblical God. And God comes along and makes you alive. And so in chapter 4, we have these words: lay aside the old self, that dead self which still hangs around, is enticing you to be self-centered. Be renewed in your mind. Put on the new self. And these sermons lately have been all about what the new self identifies with. And we covered recently number 15, as I number them, which is chapter 5, verse 18, be filled, or be being filled with the Spirit of God. What is that? It's saying, God, I want to hear from you. I am surrendered to you. I'm saying yes before you ever say it. Whatever it is, I am surrendered to you. Guide me. That's what it is in a simple way, to be filled with the Spirit. God does it, but that's our attitude with which God guides us. We're baptized in the Spirit. God's Spirit's in us. He never leaves us. We don't get Him in fuller measure. It's just that the expression to be filled is something that we enjoy when we live a surrendered life as a church, as individuals, as couples, as families. And then four things are going to happen according to this passage. We're going to be speaking to one another, going to be singing, we're going to be giving thanks, and we're going to be subject to one another. And then from that, verse 21, six illustrations are given to us. Covered the first two last week. Wives, be subject to your husbands. That means exactly what it says. Number 17, husbands, what are you to be subject to? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, for sure, but be subject to the demands of love for your wife. That's a drive, that's a taskmaster. And so we submit to what is always the loving thing to do for our wives, always 100% of the time. Talked about that last time. And now today we're on number 18 and 19, which is chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents to the Lord. So you're to be, to the third illustration, children, be submitted to your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it might be well with you, that you might live long on the earth. And then number 19, the fourth illustration of submission, being filled with the Spirit and having a submissive heart, is fathers are to be subject to the well-being of their children. And mothers are too, but fathers specifically mentioned here. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And so we're going to dig into this. We'll see how far we get, but let's go ahead and get started. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I didn't read that right. I'm sorry. Parents, obey your children in the Lord, for this is the going trend. Right? Kid wants to come to church, we come. Junior doesn't, little King Tut doesn't want to come, we don't come. Whatever little King Tut wants to do, that's what we do. Because he's going to fuss and scream and cry and carry on, and it's just not worth it. That's our society. It's an amazing thing to watch children in society with their parents having their way. It's a completely amazing thing. And yet this prescription is, children, obey your parents. That's pretty simple. So when your parent says to do something, you do it. Unless it's against the law of God, obviously. Then you respectfully say no. Children, obey your parents. Notice that phrase, in the Lord. What does that mean? That's the word, that little tiny word in, is one of the most important words in the book of Ephesians. Just do a little a word search on that one time. You will see it, like, I didn't count, but like just all over the book of Ephesians, especially chapter 1, all the way through, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, all the way through. We just read right past that. What does that mean? Union with Christ, in union with Christ. So this would mean here, obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, with a deep awareness of being united to the Lord Jesus Christ. So for all children who have trusted Christ of all ages, there's a sense of being of Jesus being present. And so in relation to Christ, we obey. A little bit later, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? In union with Christ. And all the way through from verse 1 of chapter 1 all the way through chapter 1, especially just in the Lord is just everywhere. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, we were going to be united to Christ before God ever made the world. All right, so it's just a major doctrine in the book, and so it's right for him to use it right here. Obey your parents with a deep awareness of being united to Christ. That's the driver in this. And then the second driver, for it's right. And so we ask all the time, what is the right thing to do? That's the way children are to be raised. That's the way all of us are to behave. What's the right thing to do according to the Bible, according to the Lord Jesus Christ right now? All right? Now, in the parallel passage, Colossians, written about the same time, again, Paul is in prison and are incarcerated and facing the death penalty in Rome, and he writes to the church in Colossae about the same time, and he says this in chapter 3, verse 20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, no area outside of their control, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So in our passage, why do we obey parents? Because Christ is present and it pleases Him. Because it's the right thing to do. And then in Colossians we add, because it's pleasing to God. And all Christian children, children, you're listening to me, right? Children, you're listening to me, right? Because, I mean, the younger children are over there. We got some older children here, though. You obey the you obey your parents, one, because you're in Jesus and it pleases Him. Two, because it's the right thing to do. Three, again, because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. That's why we obey. Now, the prime example of this in Scripture is always going to be Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, and He, Jesus, went down with them, this is from Jerusalem to their hometown in Nazareth, and Jesus continued in subjection to His parents. Now, think about that, young people, and older folks. He's 12 at this time, by the way. Think of, you know, Roger, I mean, what would that look like? You got, you know, a 12-year-old boy that's in, if you're Joseph, you know, and you got a 12-year-old boy, and he is to be subject to you, and, how would Jesus have, no, Dad, actually, it's this way. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, and yet Jesus, because most things just don't matter, moral things matter, but most things don't matter. Jesus, the God of the universe, submitted Himself to His dad. Think about that. And that's our example. Now, there's a limit to this. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, for this cause, this is God bringing together the man and the woman. Day number one, probably. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, the two become one flesh. That's a picture of marriage. That's the marriage covenant. A man will leave his father and mother. So now you're stepping out from under the authority of your parents. There's a transfer of authority. By the way, parents, grandparents, we don't raise children. We raise adults from childhood. We raise parents. You're raising, if God should call them to parenthood. We are raising adults. Many of them, we are raising parents. We are raising grandparents. And that's the vision that we have to have. So there comes a time when they leave. And obviously, I mentioned before, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, there's always the limit in submission to any person on the planet, as a wife, as a child, as a citizen in our society. We must obey God rather than man. Okay, and that's what Peter and the disciples were to the Supreme Court was. You're telling us to shut up about Jesus. We have to keep witnessing. We have to obey God. You can do what you need to do, spank us, kill us, but we're going to keep obeying God. All right? So that's obviously the limit, and they did that respectfully, no doubt. All right? So that's pretty simple. Obey your parents. Why? You do this in understanding that Jesus is very present, and you do it because it's right. And then the next verse, that's obedience is not enough. Honor your father and your mother. This is Exodus chapter 20. This is Deuteronomy chapter 5. The two places that the Ten Commandments are given, they're given in Exodus chapter 20. They're retold 40 years later, right before the people go into the Promised Land, in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we got the first four commands dealing with our relationship with God. Then the very next command is going to be a horizontal command. All the remaining commands are going to be horizontal, done before the Lord, but horizontal to one another. And you would assume that the next command would be, don't murder, don't commit adultery, etc. The next command, which I think is the most important of all of the horizontal commands. I think it's the foundational command. I think it's the most essential command. We don't think that in America, but it is what? Honor your father and your mother. That's before don't murder. I think in the heart of God, that's more important than don't murder. Why? Because if you honor your parents, you will honor other authorities, you'll honor God, and you'll honor fellow citizens, and you're not going to commit murder, adultery, or the rest. So it's foundational to the rest. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it might be well with you, that you might live long on the earth. First commandment with a promise that it might be well with you, that you might live long on the earth. God is speaking to the society. Give me a society that knows nothing, their children know nothing about honoring their parents. They will not honor other authorities. They will not honor one another. There will be bedlam, chaos, murder, and death. Every society, honestly, This is not so much Bible as it is common, and I mean really, really common sense. Around the globe, societies know this, from a tribal situation to through the Middle East, Muslim situation. Societies know there's got to be an honor for parents. All societies know that. In America, is trying to, right now in my analysis, America's trying to run an experiment going, we can dishonor parents and we're going to be fine. It's funny. No, it's the destruction of the nation. It's not okay. So I'm saying don't follow God's word and follow what's common sense. And so you might live, it might be well with you, you might live long on the earth. In other words, you'll have a society of peace, a society of respect, and there won't be murder and death in that way. So you'll live long and you'll have prosperity. You won't be stealing from each other. Authorities will be honored, people will be honored, God will be honored, and you'll have a society that has the well-being of everybody in mind. How do you honor parents? Well, let me give you a couple of things. Proverbs chapter 13. A wise son, this is Proverbs 13, verse 1. This is a how to honor parents. Proverbs 13, 1. A wise son, and I think this goes for a wise daughter, accepts his father's discipline. Always imperfect, but accepts it. Going, this is God's design. I'm going to accept it. But a scoffer does not listen to correction or rebuke. And that's one of the trends in society right now. By the way, dads, moms, we cannot fear our children. The big gig today is I want my children to like me. So I will kiss up to them, never correct them, and do whatever it takes for them to like me. If that's your mindset, you got to get rid of the fear. Your children are designed by God to need discipline. And we'll talk about how to do that later on. But appropriate, biblical, well thought through, well communicated, clear boundaries, clear consequences, discipline. Without that, they will not end up with a good relationship with you. It's not going to happen. They will despise you later on in life. And I can take you to examples today. So you can't fear your kids. You got to be fair with them. You got to love them to the hilt, have a blast with them. But don't fear the discipline. More of that later on. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. This is how we honor parents. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she's old. That doesn't mean when your parents are old that you have to obey everything they say, and they shouldn't be really telling you what to do. Once you leave the house, you get married, you leave the house, you leave father and mother, and but they are still wanting to. You're still tied to their heart, young folks. You're still tied to their heart. If your parents are still alive, there's a tie, and to honor them, to ask their advice, you've got to still make your choice before God, is a very honorable thing to do. Don't despise your mom when she's old. Listen to her. You got to make your choice, but you still listen to her. You say, my mom's a nut. Listen to her anyway. Every once in a while, she's going to get something right. All right? Verse 24, I continue on with Proverbs 23. I'm just going to read verse 22 again. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she's old. Buy truth and don't sell it. That's the cry of your parents. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. I can tell you, as a parent, we have kids that are grown, and they're married, and they have kids. And it just through the years, we're like, that's our cry. Son, get wisdom. We have three boys and Alyssa. Son, Alyssa's the youngest. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Get instruction. That would be from the things of God, moral instruction. Instruction about life from in godliness. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. Here's how you honor your parents. Pursue wisdom, pursue instruction the rest of your life, pursue understanding the rest of your life. This will honor your mom and your dad if they're still alive. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Notice the word greatly rejoice, be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her rejoice who gave you birth. This is how to honor your mom. You honor her by pursuing wisdom and instruction and understanding and the lifestyle of righteousness and wisdom that comes from that. Let her rejoice who gave you birth. And then this cry, give me your heart, my son. I can tell you that that's from every dad and every mom. The one thing I want from you, give me your heart. And obviously in context, first of all, give God your heart, pursue wisdom, pursue righteousness, pursue understanding, but son, give me your heart. That's one way you honor your parents. That's it right there. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. There's a dad that's humbly confident that he's living out the ways of God. Now, if y'all been hanging around me for a number of years, you know I rarely mention family. I mention Carrie quite a bit. I can't help it. Okay, I mean, I mention all a lot, and I mention the Lord Jesus Christ. But the boys, myself and the boys, not so much. And so I'm just going to take a moment of privilege, if I could. I just need to say this, and this is not flattery. This is the absolute truth. I'm just bearing witness to this passage, and hopefully it will inspire other young people that are here. This passage, young people, go through Proverbs 23, verse 22 and following. That is the heart of a parent when you get older. The three men that I admire the most on the planet are Ryan, David, and Jonathan. Of all the men that I know some incredible men here. If you're visiting, I mean, wow. But of all the men that I know, Ryan, David, and Jonathan are the ones that I absolutely admire more than anybody else. I admire their pursuit of righteousness, doing the just thing, the right thing. I admire their pursuit of wisdom, as the passage brings out, the wisdom of God, wisdom for life, wisdom on how to treat family and everybody else. I admire their character. I admire their integrity. I admire their humility. I admire how they honor others, how they value others, their kindness, their industriousness, their generosity to other people. They're men of courage. They're great leaders for our society. And everywhere I go in our community, evidently, everybody else thinks the same thing. Apparently. And if I could say, when you're in contracting business, and that's their, you know, a lot of that's what a lot of what they do, you're going to be hated by some people that just the way it is. Everybody speaks incredibly well of their character. Everybody. And I'm known more for, wait a second, you're a Moss. Oh, I know your son. I know, and my brother's included in this, by the way. I know your sons, you know, okay? And it's like, then some kind of accolade will come. They're the most honoring men of integrity and character. And what a blast. And I can just tell you, I'm just bearing, I'm taking a lot of time right now, but I'm just, again, I don't do this very often. I am bearing witness to being a guy, and David's up in North Carolina, our middle son, and he's heavily involved in the church, the things of ministry, and well spoken of as well. Because of their righteousness and their wisdom, great rejoicings in my heart, and Karen, we're glad in our children. We rejoice in them. We delight in them. And what a blessing that as messed up as Karen did a good job. Karen's a great educator. She's, but me, as messed up as I've been, for the boys to come out this way, it's just like, wow. So if y'all are puking right now, I apologize. Again, if you're a guest here, I don't do that very often. But that is the truth, all right? We're at time. Y'all don't listen very fast. Let me give you two more passages. I want to close this thing down. I'm just going to mention these passages there in your outline. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Both mom and dad are involved in the instruction of children. The weight is placed on the dad for sure, but both. Bind them on your heart. Young people, listen to this. Bind what your parents say. I know they don't know what's going on. Bind what they say on your heart. Tie what they say around your neck. When you walk, the teaching, their example, their teaching will guide you. When you sleep, those teachings, those examples will watch over you. When you awake, those teachings will continue to talk to you. Even after your parents die, they will continue to talk to you. They're like a lamp. They're like a light. And the reproofs and disciplines they brought into your life are a way of life because God, Hebrews chapter 12, continues to bring discipline, and you need to get to know what discipline is all about. In the last passage, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and following, Do not sharply rebuke an older man. Appeal to him as a father. We're talking about how to honor your parents. So your dad, your granddad, gently, humbly, honorably appeal to him. And that's true of older people in the church, is the point of the passage. Verse 2, older women, honor them, appeal to them as mothers. Speak to them with an honorable, respectful way. And then verse 3 through the rest, really the most of the rest of the passage, honor widows. I cut the passage off because I ran out of paper, but most of the chapter continues with how the church and how individuals and families are to honor their own widows. Last verse, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, in context, his own mom or grandma, and especially those of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Again, even other countries know, other nations, other cultures know. Whatever else they're involved in, if they don't honor their parents from the time that they're little all the way up through to the death of their parent, their society's in trouble. And we've got to come back to that. I apologize, that's as far as we got. I blame it on you for not listening fast enough. But really think through what's upcoming in these four verses, and we'll deal with them next time before the Lord. Father, thank you for your grace today. Spent a lot of time on this thing called honor, and yet it is, besides the first four, about our relationship with you and honoring you and worshiping you and loving you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. This next thing about loving one another begins with honor. And Father, we can't overstate how essential it is to live lives of honor toward our parents and therefore toward you and other authorities and one another. Father, we pray that our nation would come back to an understanding of choosing to honor parents and authorities and you and one another. And Father, we pray for the households that are a part of this fellowship, that you would guide them into understanding the essential nature of honor, that of all the things we mess up in, the absolute non-negotiable in child rearing, rearing young people to be adults, the non-negotiable is honor. Number one thing we shoot for, honoring you, honoring parents, honoring authorities, honoring one another. Father, we pray that this would be part of a revival you bring in our immediate midst and in your church throughout America and in this nation. Thank you for grace today. Thank you again for the gospel, that today's a new day. And we pray that you would guide us to exemplify this honor in every way toward our children and toward others that are watching. Thank you for great, great grace today in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. We've covered the gospel message. Again, it is the most important thing. It's the foundation of life, to trust Christ. And so this area will be open. If you're not sure what that looks like, we want to talk to you, male, female. We'll have leaders watching for you. As many as want to come, come on down. If you want prayer for anything, come on down. If you just need a good hug, someone to talk to, whatever it may be, come on down. Small groups for all ages following this time, life groups. They're on the back side of your bulletin. And remember the new members class that's starting today, 4-week series up in the library. And then following that time, we're talking about kids. We need some help with our kids in the boys club. We got a lot of boys. And so, men, if you would, after life group, come to the fellowship hall. We will have guns and crossbows, all kinds of stuff in there, and we will talk about the discipleship of boys and plan out this year, okay? So come and enjoy that time with us. It'll be a guys' meeting. It'll be concise, so come. Father, thank you again for your grace toward us. Have your way in us. Have your way through us. Bless the groups upcoming, we pray. Make these people a blessing to one another, all of us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for grace. Amen. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.